GiantsGiants.com. The show will begin shortly. You're tuned in to listen to Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com. The show will begin shortly. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Jeff Fiegel's with you, and the phone number is... Wow, that's a phone number. 201-939-4513. Wow. How do
you, Schmelk, you hear that phone number in your 201-939-4513.
It came to me right here on Giants.com for the next hour. John Schmelk, Jeff Fiegel's with you. What a way to start the show.
A happy Friday.
And joining us on the phone is a friend of the program from Pro Football Focus, Steve Palazzolo. Steve, you got John Schmelk and Jeff Fiegel's here in East Rutherford, New Jersey. How are you, Steve, on this beautiful afternoon?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, thanks for being on, Steve. I know you guys are busy this time of year, and I want to start with an article you guys put out a couple days ago. You projected what every NFL team would win, how many games they would win the rest of the year based on some of your analytics with the Giants, I think between 4 and 5, if memory recalls, and just kind of want to touch in on how you guys came to that number, kind of what your process was, and how hard was it to do based on the fact the Giants' numbers these first 7 games, you have 4 of them plus with Odell Beckham Jr. and 2 plus without him. So how hard did that make it to really make that projection down the road?
Yeah, that makes it a little bit difficult. I think the thing that we were looking at, and our analytics team does they do a fantastic job. They do some really mathy stuff that I don't completely get, but they make it simple for me so I can explain it.
Perfect.
I think the big thing is, you know, from a coverage standpoint, you know, we saw it a couple weeks ago against Denver. They still have that potential to play that lockdown defense that we saw quite a bit last season in the secondary. So I think some of the projection rests on, you know, Janoris Jenkins being available. And, you know, it was tough to be able to, you know, predict some of that. But I think the secondary is still more than capable. And if you look at the rest of their schedule, we have them ranked with the 31st most difficult schedule in the NFL. So an easy road in the second half. Mm-hmm. So we had them with a few more wins in the second half of the season. And, you know, I think quietly, Eli Manning, we had low expectations for him coming into the season. And especially given the situation around him, the offensive line, all of the receivers going down, he's played a little bit above expectation. And that probably should lead to at least a couple more wins.
Well, we hope so, that's for sure. And, you know, listen, when you talk about losing Odell Beckham, you got to talk about losing all the other receivers too. So, and, you know, that's been a problem for any quarterback when you think about it. I mean, Eli Manning is making the best of it, so they're going to try to rely on their running game. I agree with you, Steve. This Giants team has the capability to go in and play a game like they did in Denver. They just got to be able to play complementary football, something the Giants and our staff and everybody around here have not been able to talk about much as far as complementary football. They can do it, but it's going to be a tough test. They got the Rams coming in here this weekend with a potent offense. But I still think that this Giants can put some wins together, and I agree with you. I don't know if it's going to be that high, but I would like to see maybe the Giants roll off maybe a couple in a row rather than just one. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But so it's interesting how you guys put all these statistics together and the analytics. You got to make sure that none of your staff goes and tries to be the Yankees manager out here, you know.
So. Yeah, we can run those numbers for baseball too. We can handle that. The Astros did a great job running their analytics all the way to the World Series.
Absolutely, Steve and Jeff just mentioned, if the Giants are going to want to win the rest of the year, they're probably going to have to run the football. Sterling Shepard's back. They have Evan Engram, but, you know, Tavares King, Roger Lewis, go down the list. These are not, you know, guys that have been relied upon in the National Football League before. How do you guys see the Giants running game? They've used a number of different backs. They've used a number of different offensive line combinations. You know, when it's worked, why has it worked? And do you think it can be more consistent in the final 9 games of the year?
Yeah, I mean, look, it hasn't been good for a few years now.
Right.
I'm a little disappointed in Paul Perkins overall. I definitely liked him quite a bit coming out of UCLA. Gave him a bit of a pass last year, being a little late to training camp and all that stuff coming out of UCLA. All the, you know, missed some practices early on. But I'm a little disappointed in Perkins. I think Orleans Darkwood, the stats are backing up our grades, essentially. 5.54 yards per carry. He's been the most efficient runner, even if it's still a small sample size. But, you know, I think they just need more consistent play from those guys. Justin Pugh, when he's healthy, he's our top-graded run blocker. Evan Engram, I think, has been the guy that we expected as far as a threat in the pass game, but not much in the run game. And, you know, he's one of our lowest-graded run blockers. And again, I think you just have to play to his skill set, play to his strengths a little bit, maybe not rely on him as much in the run game. And that's tough to do because, you know, part of his value is, you know, working off of play action and being able to deceive the defense. You can't just line him up at receiver the entire time. So trying to figure out a little bit of creativity there, how to hide Engram in the run game a little bit, get more consistent play up front, where I think Pugh's been the best guy.
Well, when you talk about consistent play up front, through attrition, DJ Fluker has come into the starting lineup. What did you guys see in him as a free agent with the Giants signing him? It wasn't a big, you know, splash in free agency, if you will, but the Giants figured that they needed a guy like him, and now he's in there. We have him better as a run blocker than a pass blocker. What do you guys have, and how do you see DJ Fluker?
Yeah, that's exactly what we have. His last three games, very solid in the run game. And pass protection's improved a little bit the last couple games, just two pressures in the last two games. But, you know, he has a history of just giving up a little bit too much pressure. I think that's been kind of the story for him. When he's at his best, he does live up to that mauling, run-blocking hype that he had coming out of Alabama. You just don't see it week in, week out. And from a pass protection standpoint, so far this year, he's given up 11 pressures, a little bit too much for a guard. And like I said, a little bit, you know, that's in line with essentially what we've seen throughout the rest of his career. Of course, starting his career at tackle and trying to, you know, trying to find his way at guard. You know, there are flashes there. And if he can keep that going, you know, he'd be another key to that run game as well.
So, you know, the big story coming into this season this year with the offensive line was that GM Jerry Reese had a lot of confidence that this group was going to get better. And hence, you know, not a lot of big splash in free agency, no drafts, nothing like that. When you see a player like Bobby Hart, who loses his starting position, most likely going to play again this week now that Pugh is going to be out, what do you guys see in Bobby Hart, or did you see a lot more than he's – what's going on with Bobby Hart, and how do you guys see him?
Yeah, I think he's really struggled, you know, especially the, you know, Chargers game a few weeks back. You know, it's a great defensive front you know, that the Chargers have put together with Joey Bosa and Melvin Engram, but – really struggled that week. Gave up six hurries in week one against Dallas. Year over year, we don't have a great grade on Bobby Hart, especially okay. In pass protection. He's been okay as a run blocker. So I think it was a bit of a risky proposition trusting him at the right tackle spot early in the season as well.
You know, Steve, the final offensive line question, I promise. Eric Flowers, someone Giant fans have kind of had in their crosshairs a lot this year. The impression from watching him during games is that he has shown improvement over the course of the year. Obviously, he struggled a lot the first couple of weeks. How have you seen his performance over the year? Is it simply the fact that he's struggling, but the guys that's beating him are not getting home because they're getting rid of the ball quick? Is he getting a lot of help? How do you guys see Flowers' performance over the course of this year?
He's definitely improved. You know, everybody saw it. Whatever happens on primetime, you know, Monday Night Football, week
yep.
two against Detroit, it was three sacks. Whatever happens on primetime just carries the narrative for the season sometimes. And he hasn't allowed a sack since then. Now, when you're looking at tackles, it's not necessarily about sacks because you made the point. As soon as you lose the block, the difference between that becoming a sack, a hit, a hurry, is much more on the quarterback or the edge rusher, whatever it might be. But he has improved in pass protection. He still has issues in the run game at times, and he'll whiff on some easy blocks. But relative to where he was as a rookie in last season, there has been improvement. I don't know if that's going to be a consistent linear trend where you're similar to Eric Fisher with Kansas City, who was, you know, the first overall pick and really didn't have a good season until about year five of his career, at the point where Kansas City actually had to start paying him. I don't know if we're going to see something to that effect where, you know, year four or five of Flowers, he looks like a pretty average left tackle, which in the NFL today, an average left tackle is extremely valuable. It doesn't sound exciting, but there's a lot of bad offensive line play. But I think that's the hope for Flowers now. He's creeping back toward average, still not there yet, but certainly improved a little bit.
When you have two teams, the Rams and the Giants are both coming off their byes this week. Any changes in your ranking stuff systems, you know, I guess trying to pose a question here. Do you see anything that the Giants – I know they're going to lose Janoris Jenkins. That's going to really be a problem in this game, in my opinion. But, you know, do you see anything that the Giants can get – what's the question I'm trying to – better at coming out of the bye? Did they move up in your eyes in any way, or are they – now that Jenkins is out of the lineup, where is this team – where can this team go coming out of the bye? I guess that's my question.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the big thing is figuring out that pass rush. They've relied so heavily on JPP and Olivier Vernon the last couple of years, and you know who will be there to complement them. You know, Big Snacks in the middle is pushing the pocket even more than ever as a pass rusher.
Really?
You know, who will be that complement? I think that's going to be you know, the big question is what else can they do up front? Because like I said, yeah, when Janoris is out there, the secondary is looking pretty good. If he's not out there, you know, they need to protect those guys a little bit more up front. And they've got the same issues at linebacker, it seems, year in, year out. And, you know, they just don't have highly graded linebackers in our system. I don't think Giants fans are always enthralled with the linebacker play. It hasn't been a position. It's not a position of emphasis year over year. And I really feel like the NFL these days, because of the versatility of offenses, you need complementary, versatile linebackers, guys that can play the run in a in a six-man box, guys that can cover tight ends, cover running backs, play zone, get good depth in zone, and they just don't have those consistent three-down linebackers, and you know, I need to be able to see some improvement there on the defensive side.
You know, Steve, you mentioned the pass rush, and, you know, Olivier Vernon's been out, so I'll kind of push him to the side here, but Jason Pierre-Paul had his one, you know, big splash game against a very, I'll say it, not very good right tackle in Menelik Watson for Denver. Otherwise, he's been pretty quiet getting after the quarterback. And I think the one thing that's jumped out at me, at least, is that his run defense seems to have taken a hit a little bit this year. The first few games, you saw teams running a lot of zone stretch to his side and getting around the edge and getting around the corner, something he's normally been good at. Is that something you guys have seen, too, in your grading, that he's taken a little bit of a step back in his run defense?
Yeah, this is the lowest grade we've put on him in his career so far from a run defense standpoint. You know, peaking in 2011, 2012, where he was maybe the very best edge defender against the run and always been solid his entire career. This is the lowest grade we've put on him in a while. And you're right, even just from a pure pass rushing standpoint, we had him with three sacks, four hurries in that Denver game. That's seven out of his, 29 total pressures this season, just in that one game alone. He had seven against Seattle as well. But again, you're talking about a bad right tackle in Denver and Menelik Watson and a very bad Seattle offensive line. So yeah, he's beat up on the poor competition, which is valuable. You need to beat up on those guys when given the opportunity. But
sure you do.
Certainly need to see more consistency from him week in, week out as well.
Well, one guy that we got excited about, he's not a rookie, but he's a first-year starter, played a little bit on special teams last year, B.J. Goodson, comes out in the first game of the regular season, has 18 tackles, and we're all thinking, oh, my goodness, look at this guy. This guy's going to be the answer. And so, you know, he's been hurt. What do you guys like in B.J. Goodson? Do you see a lot of good things coming out of him going forward?
Yeah, I mean, that week one was awesome. He was all over the field.
That's amazing.
I mean, I was ready to say it too. Hey, the Giants have a linebacker. He's taken a step back since that point. I do like, you know, the fact he's only missed one tackle the entire season. So there's a lot of value in just, you know, making the expected plays. It's just a matter of getting back to that, you know, kind of that week one status where he was flying around, hitting the hole before offensive linemen got there. If offensive linemen beat him there, he's beating the block. I mean, he was doing it all that first week. We just haven't seen it at that same level. So we've shown that it's in there. But, look, he's only 312 snaps into his career. So there is still room to improve and to get back to those flashes that we saw against Dallas in week one.
Steve, I want to talk about the safety position real quick, and I'll ask you a two-part question. One, Darian Thompson, he had all sorts of tackling problems earlier in the year. He seems to have cleaned that up a little bit. Your take on his performance so far and really his quasi-rookie year. And then Landon Collins, who obviously isn't putting up the raw numbers he put up last year, and I think a lot of fans lose sight of the fact that things like interceptions can a lot of times be as much luck as it is great play. Have you seen a drop-off in Landon from last year, or is it simply the fact that the balls aren't bouncing in his direction?
Yeah, I'll start with Landon. It is a lot of that. You know, I mean, there's something to being at the right place at the right time, but there's also a lot of luck with that ball bouncing right to you for interceptions. Also, just from a pure pass rush standpoint, he was outstanding last year just rushing the passer. They've only blitzed him 29 times this year. Last year, he had five sacks, right? So he had five sacks, 11 total pressures. Those are like, those light up the stat sheet when you're a safety. And those are tough to come by as well because a lot of them are unblocked or it's just an opportunity thing. So I still think he's an outstanding player. It helps when the pass rush is complementing what the secondary is doing, but I wouldn't worry about Landon Collins a whole lot. As far as Thompson, he hasn't missed a tackle in his last three games, so that there has been improvement there. You know, he was a guy I liked quite a bit coming out of Boise State. I think he has that free safety type of range. Needs a protractor every now and again is what one of our analysts mentioned during the draft process.
That's a great line.
We'll take some, right? We'll take a few questionable angles, but I like Thompson overall. I do think he's a good complement to Landon Collins, and do expect him to continue to improve.
So we'll switch gears and go to the Rams a little bit, talk a little bit about the matchup that we have with the Giants this weekend. The linebacking crew for the Rams and Ogletree and Barron, two guys that started off the season not very well, but I tell you, in the last three or four games, these guys have really come on. Talk a little bit about that matchup with Evan Engram. You know the Giants are now going to – that's their guy, and how they're going to match up with Evan Engram and the two linebackers I mentioned.
Yeah, it's athletic linebackers, right? You've Mark Barron, who's a former safety. And look, the safety moving to linebacker deal, it's very difficult to truly get good linebacker play from a converted safety. They're usually lost when they're in the box. And Mark Barron's done a fantastic job, especially this season. So you've got safety athleticism there, both with him and Ogletree. Ogletree's kind of all over the place sometimes. He's the type of guy that he'll bite on play action. He'll have some ugly plays, but he'll have the splash plays as well. And those splash plays for him are coming as a blitzer. He has 15 total pressures, two sacks. So it's an athletic linebacking core. One I think you could take advantage of with the right play calls. But Barron, you know, he's playing extremely well. Probably the best season of his career so far.
So let's move to Jared Goff, okay? The worst quarterback in the history of the NFL last year, number one overall pick. What is his deal?
Looks like a different guy put on the jersey.
No, there's no question. Now, I know that when you put players around certain individuals, obviously
and a new coach.
I'm probably getting ahead here. I'm taking your thunder a little bit, but I think that has to do with it a little bit. But this guy is it just the game has slowed down for him? What's going on with him?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a lot of things. First of all, last year, let me preface this by saying I'm a big Jared Goff fan, was a big fan of his coming out of Cal. So last year's situation between the scheme that was not doing him any favors, having pretty much no playmakers and having a terrible offensive line, everything was working against him. Throw on top of that, he simply didn't play well. When he was given the opportunities, when he was given open throws, he was still missing reads. He did not play well at all. When you enter Sean McVay in this new offense, it is one of the more QB-friendly offenses. I'm a big believer that Sean McVay and that offense in Washington has really elevated Kirk Cousins, at least statistically. The play-action game opens up so many throws in that offense. And I think so now it's a combination of the offense is more favorable for Goff. You got a lot more easy throws. You have more playmakers to throw to. They draft Cooper Kupp. They have a guy like Gerald Everett, a tight end. They just got a bunch of different playmakers to spread the ball around to. Nobody that's great, but a lot of solid playmakers. And, yes, Jared Goff, who was a young rookie. He was still young. He was still just a true junior when he came out of Cal. He's a year older and looks a lot more comfortable. So I think it's the system. It's the supporting cast. And Goff has taken a step back, a step forward, and that's, you know, what we should have expected. I think he's still a talented kid. And I think there's a ways to go. I don't think he's got a lot of room to improve, even with the statistical increase this year.
So Todd Gurley doesn't that helps him a little bit too, catching the ball out of the backfield and having a run game.
Absolutely, and you took the question right out of my mouth, you know, Steve. Well, two more rapid fire on the Rams real quick. Gurley, is this a personal performance improvement from him, or is he also a product of the improved scheme that Sean McVay has put in?
I think he looks a lot better. McVay always does a little bit to open things up, but Gurley's hitting the holes with a lot more aggression. He just didn't have great vision the last couple of years. You know, his rookie season was a lot of big plays that I think, you know, carried his performance. Last year, just wasn't reading the zone game the way you're supposed to as a running back, just not hitting the hole the way you're supposed to. He's seeing things a lot cleaner this year, using him in the pass game. I mean, yeah, he's been a very versatile weapon and more valuable in fantasy, I think, than real life. But, yeah, he's been really
good.
Well,
a lot of people like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that. Absolutely. Because the world is about fantasy. Forget about the regular league, right?
Steve, is Aaron –
that's right.
Easy one for you. Is Aaron Donald the best defensive player in the NFL?
Yes, that's it. Most disruptive. They said he was too short, too undersized. He breaks our grading system every year. He's been outstanding.
And he will wreck a football game.
Absolutely.
If you do not take care of him. And listen, back to Gurley. it does make a difference when you have an improved offensive line that can open up some holes. So then the running back's vision all of a sudden becomes very clear.
Yeah.
You know, so – but thank you so much. Yeah.
Roger Saffold's playing well. Rob Havenstein, they bring in Andrew Whitworth, who's been a fantastic rookie. A fantastic veteran addition for them. So, yeah, the offensive line much improved as well.
And, Steve, I saved your most difficult question for last, and this is kind of a big-picture question that Giant fans have been trying to figure out and we've, frankly, been trying to figure out. If you had to pinpoint an explanation for why the Giants are 1-6 right now, coming off an 11-5 season. You know, that's going to be one. Maybe it's one or two or, you know, a few minor ones. How would you explain it based on your grading system?
11-5 was fool's gold last year. They were not an 11-5 team. They had a solid defense that I think overachieved.
Okay.
And this year I'm saying they're an underrated defense this year. But last year they were an overachieving defense. They made do with poor play from Eli Manning last year. I just think they overachieved last year. I think they were closer to an 8-8 team. Now, should they be at 1-6 now? No. The difference between 1-6 and, 3-5 or whatever, 3-6 is, a couple plays here and there. So I think they've just kind of regressed back into what they are. And then you see all of their issues have come to light so far this year and haven't had enough breaks fall their way. So I think that's the basic synopsis of the Giants.
Great. That's a great answer, Steve. We talked about it yesterday. You know, last year they won all their close games. This year they're losing all their close games, and that's a pretty good formula for going from 11-5 to 1-6.
And last year, you look at the injuries to the New York Giants last year, there was not a lot of injuries.
And there's a lot this year.
Now you look at what's happening this year, and that happens in every NFL club. I mean, if you have a season where you don't have a lot of injuries and you're a decent football team, you're going to win games. But when you lose four of your five receivers – and guys in your offensive line is inconsistently on the field. There are different, scenarios. You got your right guard moving to right tackle, blah, 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 everything. It's hard to win. It really is. So, but we think.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Steve, we appreciate the time, my friend. Thanks for the extra few minutes. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you down the road. Keep up the great work at Pro Football Focus. And before you go, if you want to give the fans, the information about subscribing and all your services, please go right ahead.
We do.
ProFootballFocus.com. We'll give all the listeners a $10 discount on all of our products. PFF10 is the promo code. We have all sorts of stats and grades for fantasy, for regular football, and all the fun draft coverage is coming out now as well. So PFF10 promo code, you get $10 off.
Smell, can you just give me 2 minutes? Because, Steve, you're into college football big time. I know you are. I was watching some of your tweets. Just give me 30 seconds on the U. Are they going to make it? I mean, come on. My son plays for Miami, and I'm just – we're so excited about the season. I know that nobody else wants to hear this, but I wanted to hear it from you.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
I don't think so.
Hang up on that. No, listen, I agree with you. I think they're a team that's learning how to win this year. The program is up and coming. They haven't beat a lot of great teams. They got two tough matchups coming up in the next 2 weeks, and we'll see what happens after that. So call back in 2 weeks.
Love what they're doing. They're like the 2016 Giants, just kind
of
like riding that defense.
Of course,
so far and hiding the offense.
All right.
Thank you, Steve.
We'll never have you on the show again.
Great stuff. Steve Palazzolo does a great job from Pro Football Focus. We thank him
and by the way,
for joining us.
That site is tremendous. I mean, if you obviously there are different levels that you can get into on their site.
You have the elite.
If you have the elite.
Edge, whatever it is.
Ridiculous.
I mean, look, I know some people do take some, they don't believe their grades and stuff like that. But if you look at how they do it.
Well, from a reference standpoint, at least it gives you somewhat of an idea of kind of what they're talking about.
If you don't have time to sit there and watch every game the Rams have played, they will give you an idea of how the Rams' offensive line is played, which is helpful.
If you want to get to know a player, you're really – like, maybe an AFC team that we're playing, we don't really know much about their roster.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect time to go on there and just they break it down.
They do.
They really do a good job.
Absolutely. So, and we thank him for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now we'll take your calls at 201-939-4513. Get on the line. Give us a call again, 201-939-4513. Jeff, let's give our take on the Giants-Rams game coming up. We haven't done that yet.
Okay.
I think there are some rough matchups you have to worry about in this game. And I'll start where we normally start, and that's where the Giants have had some issues this year. The Rams have an excellent defensive line. We talked about Aaron Donald. They have Robert Quinn. Michael Brockers has done an excellent job at defensive tackle as well for them this year. And the Giants' offensive line is still banged up. Bobby Hart will likely be back in the lineup at right tackle. You still have Brett Jones in a guard. You have Jerry and Fluker as your two offensive guards. And, of course, Eric Flowers is still out there. Your take on just how the Giants are going to manage that defensive line. And to me, you got to run the ball on this on these four guys.
You have no choice.
And if you can't, you're in a whole lot of trouble.
I think to start there, I think one thing that will help the running game a little bit is the presence of Shepard being back,
yep.
Okay, just a little bit. Not 100%, like, oh, my God, that's going to take care of everything. I think you got to go back, and this is what you do during the bye week, as you know, John. You self-scout. The coaches go out back and look at things that they have to improve on. I'm going back to that Denver game. When they played Denver, you know, a team that stopped, they were number one against the run, and look what they did. So take a little bit of that kind of recipe and put it on the Los Angeles Rams. The problem I'm seeing with, even if the Giants do run the ball well, is that they've got to be better on third downs. The Rams are very good, okay, on offense and on defense on third down. But the fact is that this Rams offense averages 30 points a game and their defense gives up less than 20. So where is their give? It's going to be tough sledding for this team this
thing.
Week. Now,
and
I'm not telling you that the Giants don't have a chance to win because I have a feel this is a favorable matchup. This team is coming. They're kicking off at 10 o'clock. For those of you who have never played football in the National Football League, it does make a difference.
Yeah, you're a guy that played in Seattle
There's
and
no
in
question.
Arizona. What is it like coming east
it's
to play
horrible.
A 1 o'clock game? Why?
It's,
explain to me.
Well, first of all, going to bed the night before is horrible. If when it's 12 o'clock here – and you should be in bed.
It's 9 o'clock.
It's 9 o'clock.
To you.
Okay, so you're trying to go to bed, and if you have a 1 o'clock game, you don't get to bed till literally 1:32 in the morning. You have a 10 o'clock game.
Did you ever
– You're tired.
Did your teams ever come out a day early going west to east when you played for the West Coast teams, the Seahawks and the Cardinals, or no? Did
no.
you guys ever travel on Friday?
Yes, I'm sorry. Excuse me. We did. When I was in Arizona, we came out here a day
did
early.
Did that help?
It did. But some coaches didn't. It's all about philosophy.
So of course it is. That's why I want to ask.
Yeah, I mean, but from – and they're never going to ask the players, you know, because obviously it costs a lot more money to come out on a day early.
Of course.
Things like that.
You got to get a practice facility. You have to pay the hotel for another night,
no
all that
question.
Sort of stuff.
But I feel so there is an advantage there. I think the Giants, like the Rams, they have an extra week to prepare for their opponent, which can be a positive. And I think from the Giants' perspective – I think this is a game where it's kind of a coming out. It's like everything has been, like Coach McAdoo said, we got to flush the first part of the season. That's hard to do mentally, okay, when you're looking at your team going, how are we going to win games when we don't have the personnel that's going to be in the game?
Hey, look, and here's what you got to do. The Giants' formula remains the same. Having Sterling Shepard back will help immensely. He's another guy that can win a one-on-one matchup and get open. They only had one of those guys the last couple weeks with Evan Ingram. You have two of them now. That makes a whole big of difference. But what you look at here with the Rams' defense, Jeff, is I think they took a little bit of time adjusting to Wade Phillips' defensive scheme, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now that they've done a good job getting used to the scheme, they've become a lot better. In the Rams' last three games, they've allowed only 11 points per game, 275 yards per game, and 85 rushing yards per game. In their first four games, they gave up 26 points, 150 rushing yards, 38% on third downs. They've been so much better the last three games. They're rolling now. They're coming off a bye. They're used to what Wade Phillips now wants them to do. And I think the Giants are going to have to figure out a way to make some big plays against this defense. I think it's going to be hard to sustain long drives. I think they have to figure out in some of those, you know, single high looks that the Rams almost use exclusively, you're going to have to figure out a way to make some big plays down the field. Maybe use a little play action if you can run the ball early to create some time for Eli Manning, and you work it that way.
Well, I think first you commit to the run like we talked about.
Right.
If you have some success.
And you hope you can run it.
If you have some success with it, then you start to open up your playbook a little bit with some play action. You know, this front seven for the Rams is spectacular. I think, what was I reading, six of the seven are all first-round draft picks.
Now, some of those guys, you know, a guy like Barron, you have to change positions with him. Ogletree struggles
sure.
a little bit, but
that's
yes.
a good point. But the other
nevertheless.
Thing, you mentioned the defense for the Rams. They're giving up. They gave up 3 points in the last seven quarters. I saw it today.
That's a nice number.
That's a nice number if you're a defense. It's not a good number if you're going against them. But yeah, just got. And again, I think that this team has to come out and play good football. And what I mean by that is no penalties, no turnovers, and be consistent running the football to set up some other things. The defense needs to step up here. Jared Goff, to be honest with you, he started off the season really, really good. The last 3 weeks, or his last three games, he's digressed a little bit. And I don't know if that's a product of teams, once again, the defensive coordinators starting to figure out these young quarterbacks. And they don't have a lot of, you know, a lot of tape on them as far as playing last year. You can't – what can you look at from the Rams last year?
Oh, nothing. So, it's useless.
So these defensive coordinators are starting to figure a little bit about Jared Goff. I'm not putting him to the side of the road here, but he's a good player.
Yeah, I think part of it, too, is that they've been running the ball a lot more. So Goff hasn't had to throw it nearly as much because Gurley's been running it better. In their last – where's my number here? In the last five games, Todd Gurley's averaging 22 rushes and 100 rushing yards per game. That's excellent.
And he has 17 10-plus yard runs. Okay, this season. So he will hit it and make a big play. That takes a lot of pressure off of a young quarterback. It really does.
And look, they'll run play action off of Gurley. I mean, if you watch the Redskins, folks, and you've seen the Giants play the Redskins under Jay Gruden a bunch of times, they'll run play action. They roll the quarterback out. They create room for the tight ends. They have a couple pretty good tight ends in Higbee and Gerald Everett. Gerald Everett, one of the tight ends we talked about during the draft last year, is a possibility for the Giants in the middle rounds. And look, the Rams have the second best offense in football in terms of points per game. They're averaging 30.3 points per game. That's excellent. And their defense is playing a lot better. So the Giants are going to have to stay true to the formula, Jeff. If they get behind in this game,
it's going to be tough.
It's bad.
You're not going to match up and say, we're going to have a shootout here. You can't do it.
You need to get a lead and run the football and stop the run. That's what you have to do. And force the Rams into being a one-dimensional team throwing the football.
And the Rams, their time of possession is over 30 minutes a game. So they do control the clock. And the one thing they will do is when they get into the fourth quarter, they will run the football and sustain drive on 8-6 minute drives to win football games. So,
and remember, the Giants are missing a lot of their front seven too. No B.J. Goodson, no Jonathan Casillas, and no Olivier Vernon. So are they going to be able to stop the run?
And now you look at Kerry Wynn, okay, who's
and he's
up.
Out too, by the way.
Okay, so now you look at Devin Taylor and Jordan Williams, two new guys on the team. We saw a little bit of what Devin Taylor could do in the preseason. He was a guy that was kind of on the bubble, really. Some people thought he would make it. But that is a unit that's banged up. You got B.J. Goodson, who I didn't see the official out report today that came out. Has it come out that he is out of the lineup?
B.J. Goodson, Vernon, Kerry Wynn, Jonathan Casillas, Weston Richburg, Justin Pugh, all out.
Well, there you go. All right. So we're going to have a little bit of change in the guard again at the defensive line position.
And, Jeff, number one third down offense in the NFL, nearly 50% the Rams.
That's ridiculous.
Number two, in big plays. I'm guessing that's plays over 20 yards. So second most big plays in the league. You know, you're not wowed by their weapons. You know, Jared Goff, like, he's improving. Their wide receivers, all right, Tavon Austin, he's okay. You know, these guys are all right. They're fine. They don't wow you, but the production wows you. The production is really, really, really strong.
I know another statistic that will wow you is their kickoff. They have – okay, folks, I'm going to tell you right now.
Go to town on their special teams.
Their Rams,
they're great.
Special teams are ridic, okay? And Johnny Heckard is the man. This dude, there was an article in the New York Times yesterday on Johnny Heckard, okay? And you just go back and look at some of the – he had the best punting season in the history of football last year.
And I think the headline said, is Johnny Heckard better at his job than any other player in the NFL, right? Wasn't that the basis of the article?
Let me tell you something. The guy was – his net average is over 45 yards. He had 51 inside the 20s last year.
Yeah.
So, but my point is their return game on kickoffs – and I don't know the guy's name. I'll tell you
Not
right now.
Not Tavon Austin?
No, it's actually their
– Farrell Cooper?
Farrell Cooper is averaging over – their team is averaging over 30 yards starting – 30 yards of return on kickoffs. That's huge. That's big. Now, if you go down the line and look at the NFL, there's not a big number between 24 and 30. Everybody's stacked in there. But that does make a – how do you get to that 30? You're getting some big, big returns to get that number up. So you got to watch out
for that.
And
they have Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods, two solid receivers. Cooper Kupp is a guy to look out for in the slot in this game. He's very crafty.
On Sundays when we're at the game and we're watching, you love Cooper Kupp, don't you?
I think he's a good player.
No, I know.
I do like Cooper Kupp.
I think that it's because obviously his name is pretty cool. You know, but I think that you look at him, he's always making big plays. He's a tough kid.
He might also be a member of one of my fantasy football teams.
Wonder.
Maybe. Just saying.
Yeah, just saying. That's why I said you like him. I remember. I took up a few weeks ago.
I have a lot of
I don't really care how the team does this. Cooper Kupp just catch some touchdowns.
I have a lot of bye week issues this week in my fantasy leagues, and Cooper Kupp will be a prominent member of my starting lineups. 201-939-4513. And the Giants, remember, without Janoris Jenkins, we'll see how they handle Ross Cockrell and DRC, who plays inside, who plays outside. That's another interesting thing. We'll have to see how the Giants handle.
I mean, you got DRC, Cockrell, and, well, what's the status with Dante Dion? He's got a little ankle injury. Is he going to be in the lineup? Obviously, I think he's got to be.
He's also questionable, by the way. He got banged up at practice this week.
All right. So John Schmelk is going to be playing left cornerback for the Giants this week.
I got a bum ankle. I'm also out.
You have an ankle, too? It's the year of the ankle.
I sprained my ankle 3 weeks ago. You know that. I was in a boot. I showed this to Tony Shepard. He said mine was worse than his.
How did I not know you sprained your ankle?
I don't know. I sprained it playing basketball.
Went up for that dunk and came down wrong, huh?
I finished on a left-handed layup over, like, two people, but then I came down on their feet, which is a problem.
Interesting.
I'm a righty, by the way.
All right, so he is out of the lineup, too.
Yeah, I'm out.
You're on the injury list, too.
Lance Meadow.
No, Lance Meadow. Well, he's about the same
size
as Dante
Dion. Yeah, he is, so it makes perfect sense. All right, let's get to the phones at 201-939-4513. We'll take your calls in the order in which they were received and start with Penn down in South Carolina. What's up, Penn?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Penn. What's up?
Not much. Been listening over the last week or two, and all the time. But over the last week or two, it's been pretty consistent about whether or not the team is not showing the effort. Has coach lost the locker room? As a fan, I can't explain any of that, or even begin to. But the one thing I can see on the field is, John, you brought this stat up on Monday, the 3rd-and-1 stat. I mean, come on, that's pure effort there. 3rd-and-1 on both sides of the ball. We're one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah, Penn, I'm not sure if it's effort as much as it is, just your ability to win in the trenches. And I'm not sure if you know
execution.
The stats, Jeff, but the Giants are the worst team at converting 3rd-and-1s, and they have not stopped one team all year on a 3rd-and-1. So that's the big difference there, Penn. I think when you look at play in the trenches, I think that number kind of reflects some of the issues they have winning that battle at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, you never really played on the line per se, but
no,
wouldn't you agree
not.
That 3rd-and-1 is, I mean, it's all hard at 3rd-and-1, regardless of where you are, offensive or defense.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question.
I'm just saying, it's more about the effort of the player than it is about scheme or anything else.
I mean, because you can line up all day, but if the quarterback sneaks you on 3rd-and-1 and you don't have anybody in there to stop him, I mean,
I believe a lot of it has to do with heart, but I also have to remember that the other guys on the other side of the ball are getting paid the same thing as you are, and their execution is just better than yours. So, and, it's funny because you think, how hard is 1 yard to get? But evidently it's very difficult,
I can see that. Yep. Last question, and I'll take it off air, is do you see a future for a mobile quarterback with the Giants? I mean, if you look around the NFL right now.
If they're
Even the success that Eli's had this year has been on bootlegs, play action. He's gotten outside of the pocket. I mean, he's had a lot of success there,
Well, I think –
appreciate the call. Thanks a lot, Penn.
And it's a good question because when you look at the evolution of the National Football League, the quarterbacks are kind of getting there. You look at a Carson Wentz, okay? I mean, yes, he is a pocket passer, but the guy can make plays on outside too. So
a guy with mobility is great as long as he can throw the football. Deshaun Watson's mobile, great. He can throw the football. Carson Wentz, he's mobile, great. He can throw the football.
Rogers.
Dak Prescott is mobile, great. He can throw the football. Aaron Rodgers, mobile, great, can throw the football. Yeah, there's room for the Giants for a mobile quarterback as long as he can throw the damn thing, sure.
Exactly, and listen, you'll see the type of player there are coming out of college. I mean, heck, if you want quarterbacks that can throw the ball, just go to the Big 12. Holy smokes, those guys just wing it around.
By the way, how lousy is that Deshaun Watson news? Oh, man.
It just goes to show
another one.
Yeah, just like Teddy Bridgewater, right? The same exact thing.
And well, I mean, I don't think it's quite as serious as Bridgewater's was, thankfully.
As far as how it happens,
Was he? I know it was non-contact. Was he dropping back when it happened?
I don't know the answer to that, John. When I see non-contact, all I can think about is him dropping back, But it's horrible because I got a chance to watch that game in full last weekend, the Seahawks, and that was an amazing game.
It was.
I mean, those guys were just chucking some numbers.
He threw for 400 yards on 31 pass attempts, 19 completions.
900 yards, I think, between – I mean, that is just getting it done.
And the Seahawks and Texans are generally known for their defense more than in their offense, which makes it even a little bit crazier.
I think the Seahawks, they ignited their team with the win against the Giants a few weeks ago. They are really playing some good football. And
they got the Redskins this week, by the way.
Okay.
In Seattle.
In Seattle.
With that banged up Redskin offensive line.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it could be a problem.
Wow. Well, I can't figure out the Redskins. I also can't figure out the Ezekiel Elliott thing too.
Oh, he's back now, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. there's layers to the judicial system that I have no idea existed.
And hopefully you will never have to experience those layers personally.
Oh, I will not ever have to experience those, but just reading about it, it's like,
nah, I know.
What is going on?
You appeal to this, you get stays, you get injunctions on the stays, you get repeals on the injunctions of the stays, of the injunctions, of the suspensions, of the stays.
Yeah.
It's like, it's crazy.
And
make a decision.
I mean, what are they going to get? How many games out of him already? Is it going to be 8 or 9 games?
And now there's a controversy, too, apparently, and I was only reading this briefly today, where apparently in the suspension letter, it specifies regular season games, but then an NFL spokesman said today that if it goes into the playoffs, it would be playoff games as well. So that's going to be a whole other thing if he gets suspended much later in the season.
Court ruling on that one.
I mean, I don't know how far this thing can get appealed up or whatever, but at some point
– I thought that this was the last one.
Everyone would like to have some sort of resolution to this sooner rather than later. Let's go to Robert in Miami. He's up next.
Robert,
what's going on, pal?
Hey, Jeff. First of all, I want to say that I think your son is going to be a key contributor to the you on Saturday night.
I hope so. Man, they got the Hokies this weekend. It's going to be a tough one. But, yeah, I think the field position, I'm a little nervous for him, that little young buck, you know. But I think he'll do fine. Thank you.
I know that their Virginia Tech is pretty good at blocking kicks, and I don't want that happening to your son, hopefully.
He'll get it off quick. I've been texting him all day. Remember, get the ball off quick. Get the ball off quick. What's going on?
No, I think you know what you're talking about.
A little bit. Not much.
Yeah. I just wanted to pick up on what a previous call was mentioning. Am I crazy, or does it seem to me that Eli is a little bit more nimble in and around the pocket this year than normal?
You know, I wouldn't necessarily, Robert, say he's been more nimble, but I think the last 3 or 4 games especially, I think his pocket presence in terms of stepping up and not being bothered by pressure has certainly been better than it was the first couple games of the year and last year.
Right. It seems to me that – do you think they will want to move the pocket around a little bit or just
I think they will move the pocket around a little bit depending on where Donald is. They've moved
him
around
him
a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to the Canes game and then the Giants game on Sunday.
Thank you, Robert.
We got a great weekend, Robert.
Appreciate the call, my friend.
I appreciate it.
And that's the thing, you know, nothing bothers a quarterback more than pressure up the middle, and that's what Aaron Donald can do to you. So moving the pocket a little bit, and again, you don't want to have Eli, you know, throwing, you know, rolling to his left and throwing across the field and, you know, crazy things like that. But if you want to move him around a little bit to make it a little bit difficult for the pass rush to get there, you can do that.
And that's a protection call. You know, he'll get up to the line of scrimmage, see where he's at, and then move the protection the other way and move the pocket. So, you know, you got to do everything to put yourself in a position to succeed. And you're not going to roll the pocket to where Donald's side is.
Right.
Guys got to play, man. They got to play. It's on the players to go out there and correct what they've done to this point in the season and go out and play a good game. I'd love to just have them go out and come out of this game like they played in Denver, because that was complimentary football. It was fun to watch. That was a game where it was comfortable to the eyes.
And what are the two things they did well in that game, Jeff?
They ran the football very well,
and
they stopped the run.
Bingo.
So there you go. Bing! Lights
and,
going off.
And that will not be an easy task this week against Los Angeles.
And you know what?
It wasn't easy against Denver either.
And you knew going into the game it wasn't going to be easy. But
correct.
Can it get done? Yes, it can get done. Execute. Play smart. No mental mistakes. Don't turn the ball over. Little things that will help you win a game.
Being +3 like you were against Denver might help too.
Absolutely. And one thing, the Giants do play better at home, okay? And so we'll see what happens.
Let's go to Len, our buddy. He's in Columbia, Maryland. Hi,
Len.
Oh,
Len. What's up, bud?
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great, Len. What's up?
Good. Interesting. I don't really want to talk about it for too long, but interesting take by the guy from Pro Football Focus. So I guess Eli had a bad season last year. I thought that was pretty interesting. All right, let me go on to another matter quickly here. You know, over the last 3 or 4 years, something that's just driving me crazy, and he added to my craziness in his response. That is the guy from Pro Football Weekly, which I like, by the way, and I love when you have him on, so I hope you'll continue to do that.
Yep.
But, you know, critical of JPP because he got his sacks against this guy who wasn't very good and his pressures against a guy who wasn't very good. Well, that's what you do.
Oh, of course it is. And Len, in fairness to him, I'm the one that phrased the question that way. So
It's all right. It just drives me nuts when people do that. I mean, if Connor Baldwin has three sacks on Sunday, what are we going to say? It's against Football Focus's, you know, worst offense.
No, Len, of course not. But Len, I think my larger point in the way I asked the question, not that those pressures and sacks don't count, it's that you would like to see that effectiveness spread over more games because we haven't seen a sprinkle of that in three or four of the other games this year. You know what I mean? That was my point.
And also, I believe that the reference point is that, you know, it can't just come in one game. It need to have a little bit of more consistency.
Correct, right.
That's what the whole thing – it wasn't anybody getting on JPP for the matter. It was just basically bringing up the point that this has to get – he has to have a little bit more consistency going forward here.
Well, Jeff, maybe he's only better than that one guy of the 16 guys he's going to face.
You know what? All he's got to be better is the guy he goes up against this week. That's it. And every week he's got to feel like he's better.
Well, let me throw out a formula, okay? I just made this formula, by the way. But let me throw this formula out. If you're a defensive end and you're better than the guy across from you eight times a year, and it's a wash four times a year, and the other guy is better than you four times a year, you're going to have a heck of a season.
Yeah, you should, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're going to have a heck of a season. So you don't have to be better than – I mean, you know, if you have your defensive ends doing that, you got a chance of going 9-7, 10-6. You know, I mean, these guys – when Watt was making, you know, all those sacks 3 years ago and he was all world and he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, I mean, come on, he's playing Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and whoever the other team is, Tennessee. Yeah,
of course.
I mean, they were terrible.
No, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
All right. We'll look, let me finish positive. If we win this game, we're 2-2 in the second quarter of the season. That's okay. You know, that's pretty good.
Well,
and Jeff, as the coach will tell you on Saturday night, that you probably have some experience with this. Another opportunity to win a game.
Hey, listen, you know what?
In front of your home folks, Jeff.
You got to right the ship somehow, and it starts with one game at a time. I'm sure that
one game. We got an opportunity to play a game on Sunday, thank God. And come on, Giants. Let's get it.
I agree with you. All right, Len. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Len. Appreciate the call, buddy.
Absolutely.
201-939-4513. And getting that home win's important because, you know, none of these games are easy. But you have the three division rivals in December. You have the Chiefs, and then you have the Rams. So this is one of your more winnable home games, I think, the rest of the way. Of course, it depends if Ezekiel Elliott's there, health of the other teams.
Sure.
I get all that, blah, 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 blah. But, look, it's a home game. You want to try to get a win for your home fans.
No question. And that's the thing. You want the fans to walk out of that building Sunday at 3:30, whatever the time it ends, or 4 o'clock, and just be happy that the team is – coming out of a bye with a win. I don't know what the Giants' record is. Did they come out? Did they win their game last year out of a bye? Not really sure, but
yes, they did. They played either the Bengals or the Bears off their bye week. I think it was the Bears, and they beat them.
And that was coming off of the Ram game in London last year?
Correct.
Is that what that was? Yeah. But just from
Last year, Jeff, just FYI, they won their last game before the bye. That was the Rams. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. No, they played Philadelphia off the bye, and I think they lost that game at home to Philly, right?
Right about the same date, too. Look at that.
Or is that the win, home against Philly last year? I have to look that up.
Well, no, it was a win because the Giants were 7-1 at home last year.
That's right. So they were in the bye was in the middle of a 5-game winning streak for them.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. But to your point, John, you want to win the game. The fans walk out of the building happy. And with a little bit of positiveness, if there is such a word.
Positivity is what you're looking for?
That you can kind of build on just moving forward. Granted, the team, okay, is – you just want to get to respectability, John. Get back to winning consistently, playing better. It's going to be tough with all the injuries that are going on, but they're not excuses, guys. They never are in the locker room. They're never on the field. The coaches will tell you. Everybody else has injuries too. We're not going to make an excuse. It's the next man up mentality. You go and you play. You get the opportunity to play in the National Football League. You take advantage of it. You go out there and show what you can do, and we'll let you know if you want to still be on the team, you know, a few weeks from now or next year.
Final call of the program is James in New York. James, what's going on, pal?
What's up, James?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing good. Well, James. What's up?
I want to kind of take a big picture of the team. Kind of, you know, I've been listening to this show a long time, and I feel like, you know, everyone has, like, a really optimistic outlook. And I'm just, you know, if you look at the roster, like, you know, what players are even playing at expectation, or, like, who's playing above their expectation this year? I feel like it's, like, I can't name a single person on the roster.
I would say, I think maybe Evan Ingram is maybe a little bit further along than maybe you would have thought.
I mean, the one player, the rookie first-round pick, I mean, that's, I feel like if there's only one player you can name, aside from Evan Ingram.
Well, James,
you have a good point.
James,
your point is well taken.
That's one of the reasons they're 1-6. Yeah.
And then also just like big picture.
It's David Harrison's been good.
Yeah.
Like,
David.
You know, we have a 37-year-old quarterback. And you just take a look at the teams that are having success around the league. They all have quarterbacks that, you know, can take a hit, can extend the play. They might not necessarily be able to throw the ball like Eli can. I still feel like he has it. But, you know, you take a look at Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, all, you know, even Deshaun Watson in the past few weeks. It's just like, I feel like all these teams have these new young quarterbacks that can extend
plays.
Yeah,
but you know what? And you know what? I hear what you're saying, but the Patriots are doing fine with Tom Brady. The Steelers are doing fine with an old Ben Roethlisberger. The Saints are doing really good with an old Drew Brees. What?
Ben extends plays.
He does. That's true. That's fair. I don't think Drew Brees really extends plays much anymore. Do you think Matt Ryan extends plays a lot? They were in the Super Bowl last year. Ryan and Tom Brady, perhaps the two most.
Matt's been bad this year.
But, James, they were both in the Super Bowl last year. They were the two best teams in football, and they both had pocket passers.
I don't know. I just feel like Eli's making over $20-something million a year. He's 37. He's not getting any better. Long term, I feel like, you know, we have to take a look at that position. And also, if you know, all the players on the roster, we can only name one player that's you know, playing above expectations.
Well, no, but here's the thing, though. Remember, last year you could list eight players that played above expectations. So I think the expectations went up because of last season, and now the guys aren't playing as well as they did last year, but maybe they are playing to their career average. You know what I mean? Last year, I would have said Olivier Vernon, Janoris Jenkins, Landon Collins, Justin Pugh, Sterling Shepard. I could list any number of guys that played above expectations last year.
So you think they're reverting back to the players they are, or they just played above? I just feel like the state of the roster, you know, the success last year, is that an aberration? Like, it's been such a disappointing season, and like looking long term, it's like I almost, you know, just want to kind of start over, you know.
Well, I will tell you this.
Thanks, James. I appreciate it. By the way, that's the big question that the front office is going to have to figure out at the end of the year.
That's where I was going. And I'm telling you, you're going to get your wish. There is long term. There is no long term for Eli Manning. It's no longer a long term thing for Eli. It's short term. He's only going to, you know, he's not going to play till he's 45 years old, and he's 37. He doesn't have many years left in NFL lives to be around, you know. So you are going to get your answer to that, but it's not going to be very, very soon. It's going to be something that this organization is going to have to talk about. I will tell you this, that I've been on these situations like this, John, and at this point in the season, when you are 1-6 and you're trying to win football games, there is a lot, and I mean a lot, of evaluation going on in this building right now. On, off, during the game, everything. They want to see which one of these guys or which group of these guys is going to be back next year if the team decides to go in a different direction and blow the whole thing up, or just come in and just make subtle changes here and there's an evaluation process that takes place, and it's taking place right now in this building to everybody that's here.
It's time for everyone's favorite game.
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegels?
I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
Beagles with the Eagle.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so...
John Schmelk.
35 and 26 for Jeff Beagles, and we're going to have a couple names. I was going to do this today, but...
Why not?
I figure we had 5 minutes. Let's get it done.
We're not together that often.
That's true.
We got to get a bunch of these going.
All right. Did you play with Brandon Allen? Brandon Allen.
No, I did not.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I am. Are you sure you know what button? You're sure about what button to push?
I was trying to get to the right ones. Okay, that's number one. Did you play with Brian Reeves?
Reeves?
Brian Reeves.
Sounds familiar.
Did you play with him?
No, I did not.
Brian Reeves was your teammate?
Philly?
No.
No?
What's your next guess?
Arizona?
Okay, you got that one right, finally. Okay, yeah, you played with him in Arizona.
That was brilliant guess, by the way.
1994 and 1995. He was a wide receiver. He played 19 games, caught... 20 passes for 264
what
yards.
What number was he? Did he have a number there? Did it show a number?
Let's see.
Usually it shows a number up there.
I know. I got it right here. Oh, play number. Yeah, there you go. 80.
I don't know that guy.
Not Big Country Reeves that played center for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, I remember him. Big Country. Whatever happened to that guy?
I'm sure he's living large somewhere.
He's probably large, too.
He got a nice contract
at
one point. So I think Brian Reeves is doing okay.
Yeah. I don't know about this Brian Reeves, but interesting.
Well, clearly, you don't remember the guy. Of course, you don't know how he's doing now.
No, I have no idea.
Because you're a terrible teammate.
All right, one
That's
for
understandable.
One today. I'm not a terrible teammate.
By the way, I didn't have a chance. Did you say hello to your forgotten friend from the 2007 Super Bowl team over the Super Bowl weekend?
He did it. He wasn't there.
Are you sure?
I don't know. It's hard to know if he's there or not when I don't even remember who he is or what he looks like.
I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Do you remember who it was?
No, I don't. But I remember.
I can tell you.
I was in the field house a few weeks ago and looking up at the banner.
His name is on the banner. Yes, his name is on the banner. That is correct. I can tell you his name. Hold on. Who did I use? I'm trying to remember.
It
was a good one.
Was
the roster? This is great radio. I know, folks.
I know. It's Friday.
It's stellar. Here we go. The guy that you didn't remember.
He was a defensive
lineman. That's where I'm trying to go here. You did not remember Addison, was it? Russell Davis. That's right.
Yeah.
Russell Davis. Nope. So was he at the celebration? Do you know?
No, I swear to God.
You know what's funny?
I don't think he was.
There was too much going on, and it was so loud. I tried to listen to when they announced all the guys' names at the stadium at halftime, I was not able to hear all the names. So I'm not sure if he got announced or not.
I don't think he was there. I pretty much recognized everybody else that was there.
Unfortunately.
I don't know how much you believe that.
I don't. Final thought. Give me one thought, Jeff, before we say goodbye about the game on Friday.
On Sunday, you mean?
Yes.
On Friday. I think my final thought with the Giants game coming, we talked about it earlier, the defense is going to have to really play well in this game to stop that offense.
Mm-hmm.
And offensively for the Giants, they just need to be consistently converting third downs and attempting to run the football. If they get into this game and they are down by 14 points, they will not win this game. There's no way that this team can come back. The fact is that the Rams will run the football and time of possession. They'll kill you on third downs. You're going to have to play a good game. I think the Giants got to make some plays defensively. I think Jared Goff is a really good quarterback, but I don't think that I don't think he can keep this up for a while. And I think being on the road at 10 o'clock a.m. kickoff. It's going to hurt this team.
My formula, run the ball, stop the run, and make big plays on both sides. You got to make at least one big passway through the air down the field, and you got to get at least two takeaways in this game if you want to win.
And really, when you say big plays, something that the Rams do, you got to eliminate their big plays. They make a lot of big plays.
I'm going to assume the Rams are going to get a couple big ones, but I think you got to match
that. It's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, good point. And who do those big plays come to? Is it a defensive score? Is it maybe a special teams play?
It could be any of those. It could be a catch and run from Sterling Shepard.
Whatever it is, it's going to have to happen.
It could be, Paul Perkins on a big run if he comes back and plays a lot this week. It could be any of the above. You got to make a couple big plays.
But I do, when you think about the Giants coming into this game, they are beat up. They've got a lot of their starters that are out of the lineup, which is not good.
No.
Not good at all. Sterling Shepard will help the offense. It will help Eli Manning a little bit better. It will help that run game.
I mean, think of it this way, Jeff. At the start of the year, four of the Giants' prospective 11 starters are out. No Beckham, no Marshall, no Pugh, no Richburg. So that's more than a third. That's like 35% of your starters right there, okay?
Yeah.
On defense, you're missing your starting middle linebacker, B.J. Goodson. You're missing your starting cornerback, Janoris Jenkins. You're missing your starting defensive end, Olivier Vernon. You're missing your starting weak side linebacker, and Jonathan Casillas. So you're missing 35% of your starting defense at the start of the year. That is significant to overcome against a team that's 5-2 and frankly pretty good.
You're losing 8 of your 22 players.
Yes.
Starters.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be from the beginning.
That's significant.
So, and that, no question, against a team that's 5-2, coming off a bye, to be able to prepare for, you know, it's just a tough thing. And I think Jenkins being out of the lineup is going to be, it's going to be tough because you know, Russ Cockrell, the guy, he's a veteran, he's going to play, but he's not Janoris Jenkins. I'm sorry.
Well, few people are. That's why he's an all pro.
Exactly.
All right, Jeff. Good stuff.
You too, Johnny.
We'll see
have
you on Sunday.
Weekend, everybody.
Go to WFAN on Sunday at 11:30 to check out the pregame show with me, Jeff Lance Beno, and Paul Dottino. Or if you're at the stadium, head to the MetLife Gate. We'll be on the stage, and you can check us out and watch the pregame show. Salute to Service Day at the stadium. Come out, support your armed forces personnel, and, of course, root for the Giants against the Rams. We'll see you on Sunday, everybody. Enjoy your weekend.